Rick Mahn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, we're into our number two of Locked and Loaded. We made it through those difficult first 60 minutes. And, you know, I don't know if any of you lovely people have ever done any running in your life. But, you know, the hardest part of a run is to get your trainers on and get off the sofa and exit the house. That's the toughest part of a run. Not the puffing and blowing and the joint pain and the out of breath and the sweating. It's actually getting started. And sometimes getting started's the hardest thing no matter what we're doing. I'm just being a little philosophical here, so please forgive me. So if you're listening, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're thinking about doing, and you need a little bit of get up and go, let me just tell you this. Taking that first step is the hardest thing to do. Once you've started, the ball begins to roll. The snowball rolls down the mountain. And as it does, A, it picks up momentum. B, it gets bigger. And C, it has a lot more energy to it. And will, yeah, you get the picture. Just start. Just do. Just make a start, whatever you're thinking about doing. Yeah, that's deep. That's quite deep for me, really. It's almost like I was reading it off someone else's script, but I'm not. No, I'm blessed today. I'm just talking as I feel led. I'm blessed. It's a nice day for a change in Northern Ireland. The chemtrails are nowhere to be seen. They've been spraying us for 3 months, and I am now convinced of that. I can see blue sky. I can see green trees. I can hear a dog barking and a bird singing in the background. I'm finishing in an hour. I'm quite tired. I'm going to sit in the garden and chill. Then I'm going to meet a friend and we're going to go and eat pizza. Mm-hmm. And in the interim period, I get to talk to lovely people. Jody Newell, lovely person. Next guy, Jonathan Weissman, lovely guy. And lastly, Bruce Scott, another lovely one. So I'm just feeling quite content, quite warm and quite blessed. I've got a fan behind me. It's blowing cold air on me. I've got my bottle of cold water here. You know, I'm happy. I'm just content where I am. And I urge you also, listeners, just learn to be content where you are, because godliness with contentment is great gain. Yes, I should be charging you people for this. There's people out there making money being gurus and they're talking crap. I try and talk sense and I do it for free because I love you all so much. And if you believe that, you believe anything. But anyway, before I bring the Renegade, yes, that's his new title, the Renegade, on to take the stand, the spreader of mis-dis and malinformation. Let's look at what's happening in the UK. Well, there's one word that keeps cropping up on the news everywhere, drought. Drought. Okay, so BBC are reporting drought latest. Hot weather prompts more hosepipe bans. Hosepipe ban, millions more face restrictions as drought to be declared. UK heatwave in the Independent. Yorkshire water hosepipe ban as drought could last until 2023. Telegraph reports UK drought. Are you getting the picture? Drought. Listen, I'm not demeaning what's happening with the lack of water, but if you can turn on your tap and you've got water, you can go to the supermarket and buy water or take a bath or a shower. There ain't no drought. Okay, drought means there's no water. Drought means your animals, your pets die. And after they die, they shrivel up and decay and become eaten with maggots. And then when you pass by in the garden, there's just this little shell of a pet lying on the ground. The cows are dead. The sheep are dead. The chickens are dead. Your children are dead. That's drought. That's real drought. As you will see if you go to sub-Saharan Africa and visit the bush, you know. If you tell them, oh, we experienced drought in the UK, they're like, what? Your children died? Your animals died? Your crops failed? You had to leave your home? No, we couldn't use our hose pipes for a week. That's not drought. Anyway, what do I know? I'm just an Irishman with a chip on his shoulder. But before we get into things proper here, just to let you know, and this is a nice thing that we do because we're nice people here at TNT Radio. If you have an event or a rally or a group that you want to promote, as long as you're not, you know, ISIS or Al-Shabaab, we will give you some publicity and promote you for free if you contact us on our website, tntradio.live, and go to our What's On section, our events calendar, and submit your event. We will promote it for you for free. So that's a service that I know many people could avail of, and I encourage you to avail of. If you're trying to get some community events going or raise awareness for some groups that you're part of, please avail of that service and send us an email or a message through to the studio at tntradio.live, and we will do our best to accommodate you and to promote you for free only on the wonderful, the unique, the fantastic, the phenomenal, the magnificent TNT Radio.
World news reported right.
I try to find news outlets that aren't too biased.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Jonathan is back, and let me say this, in a way, it's easier for me now to introduce you, given you've felt the full force of the Twitter banhammer. I used to say this is Jonathan Weissman. You can catch up with him on Twitter at All The Risks and his website, alltherisks.com. So my script has now changed. The new intro is, this is Jonathan Weissman. You can catch him on alltherisks.com. So thanks, Twitter. You've made my job a little bit easier. What do you think about that? Is that selfish of me?
Not at all. That's the marketing spin. It's just like when my video got banned from YouTube prior to Premiere, I had to make a quick poster, let everyone know this is the content YouTube don't want you to see. This is also the person that that Twitter and the social media platforms obviously don't want you to hear about. As he said, clearly there's some information that maybe I'm talking about that isn't too comfortable for the powers that be. So I think your intro was perfect, and thank you for it.
Well, you know what? You know, I've said this to you before, let me reiterate it on live radio, and this is recorded, so there's no backing out on my part without legal action on your part. I don't care what you say, pretty much. I think you're good. I think you're legit. I think you're a stand-up guy, and I don't care if you're banned. Every platform on planet Earth, you'll always have a voice on TNT Radio, and I appreciate it because you were one of the OGs of the show back in January. So, yeah. Jonathan, you're good, in my opinion, for what that's worth.
Well, I really appreciate everything you guys are doing at TNT. This, I don't believe, has ever been so essential, this alternative media space. I know the amount of effort that's required to produce these shows and to get this content out there. I can honestly say, whilst this sort of mass psychosis, hypnosis, whatever we want to say, is going on, this is so critical, the information war, as we call it. So full marks to everything at TNT.
Yeah, and even from my perspective, you know, when we started in January, it was kind of hard to call, will this work? Will it not work? It's a big undertaking. It's a startup. Will it fail? Will it grow? It's growing. The foundations are definitely laid now. We're building on the foundations. We're going to be changing formats around a little bit. We're going to be branching into other types of media, I believe, slowly, as we get the momentum going, which is what we were talking about at the start, this whole business of momentum. So you've been banned on Twitter. And sadly, you know, well, it's kind of the kiss of death. Most of my guests are now off Twitter. In fact, there's very few. I'm one of the only ones left, which further underscores the accusations that are leveled against me of being a satanic Freemason, controlled opposition shill. You know, they kind of have a point, don't they? But I'm not. But my guests are falling like the old 10 green bottles sitting on a wall. Eventually, there's none left. So yeah, you're now on the, you've been X'd off the wall. But in a way, it's good because you've been talking the truth. Your primary area of expertise, really, even though you're a cyber guy, this guy's a cybersecurity whiz. And I've yet to really talk to him about this because he's so zoned in on the vaccine ingredients, the trials, the results that are being slowly leaked out by Pfizer, the analyses, the breakdowns, and the damage that it's being called. Slowly, though, Jonathan, you're kind of being vindicated by the amount of people that are now coming forward to align themselves with your line of thinking, albeit they're a little late to the party, but better late than never. We're having more doctors now speaking out. GB News and even Sky News are now reporting on these links to the vaccines and deaths, etc. Does that not give you some kind of hope and some kind of encouragement, given that you were shouting this for a long time, now they're lining up with your thinking?
The one thing that I've been really keen to push constantly, I did this right back to last December, November, with the vaccine passport coming in, is we have to talk about the danger, the harm, the risks, and the pathogenicity of the vaccines. I'm never trying to argue just against the mandates. And one of the things that I think is, when I look at GB News now, they probably a year ago were speaking out against the mandates, but rarely against the vaccine. Now you turn on GB News with Mark Stein and others, and they're showcasing vaccine injuries. They're giving a platform to doctors who have been banned. That's exactly what I wanted. That's exactly where I wanted to be. And that's what I've been trying to push and influence. So I'm really, really pleased to see that. That's exactly what we need.
Yeah. And that analogy of momentum too, you know, when you're building a snowball and you're pushing it down the hill, at the start it is small and it's slow, but it does build momentum. And I can see, I'm a big believer in trajectories and velocities, and you can gauge things reasonably well based on the direction they're headed and the speed at which they're headed. I can see in some of these more visible platforms like GB News that there are people like Mark Stein who are getting vaccine injured people on, people that are doctors who are actually speaking out against the product rather than mandates. And I do believe that as the horrible reality of what has been done to people cannot be hidden for much longer, and it's becoming nigh on impossible to hide this, and people are really starting to see what this thing is, I think that this will just explode and it'll be like the Berlin Wall coming down. And I really am looking forward to that day.
It's on the, in the academic literature, which I've been tracking, when I started this 2021, we had a lot of theories. So theories from molecular biologists, computational in silico modeling, a few experiments in the lab. Increasingly now what we're seeing are studies on biopsies. We're seeing the actual evidence of removing tissue that's been damaged following vaccination. We've also got a growing number of pathologists and embalmers coming out, showing what they're seeing, showing these fibrous clots in the vessels, showing how, or demonstrating and talking about how they push the formaldehyde through the veins and it doesn't go all the way through. We just had a study coming out that's from Germany, and it shows in that the spike protein is being expressed in heart cells, cardiomyocytes, following vaccination. This is such an important study because a lot's been said and a lot's been theorized about the myocarditis, but we're starting to see direct evidence of immune inflammation following the vaccine as the spike protein is synthesized in the heart muscles, as the vaccine contents circulates through the bloodstream. There was another recent paper showing that the mRNA encoding for it distributes in the bloodstream for 15 days. This is in addition to the spike protein expressed on exosomes, little extracellular vesicles that spread throughout the body. This is in addition to the lipid nanoparticles going throughout the body, as evidenced by the rat data released by the PDMA Japanese medical regulator. The point I'm saying here, the number of studies where they draw out blood and they find exosomes, they draw out blood and they find the synthetic mRNA that wasn't supposed to spread. The number of studies where we have biopsies and autopsies, I call this like the gold standard. This isn't theory anymore. This is direct harm caused by the vaccine in young people, often 17-year-old boy. And there was a paper, two autopsies on 17-year-old boys who died following the Pfizer vaccine. That's in a peer-reviewed literature. These are autopsies. So it's that quality of data that we have. Tragic, but unavoidable and undeniable.
Yeah, because, you know, that's hard evidence to back up what's been said, and not just even from actual autopsies, but these reports that are coming out from actual undertakers with videos and photographs of what they're pulling out of people's veins and arteries. These horrific, look alien, science fiction looking horrible clot formations that are being ripped. I mean, like, it's not just like, well, you know, because it doesn't take a big clot to cause a stroke or a big clot. It's like a minuscule clump of blood cells. But this is like some kind of an alien life form that's inhabiting people's veins. And I'm not exaggerating, by the way. If you don't believe me, you can check it out and go and, in fact, we'll talk about this. We've got to take a real quick break now. But when we come back, let's look at what's being pulled out of people, because I do have a background in anatomy and I have an honors degree in human anatomy. And it brings back memories of when I did dissection and I had to take people's veins out and look at what was inside them. And I'm not joking. It's not unlike what was in the corpses of people that had been lying in pools of formaldehyde for up to 6 to 12 months at a time. So that's lovely if you've just had your breakfast. We're going to be talking about all sorts of gore, but that's life. All right. If you don't like it, go and listen to Sky News or watch the BBC. You won't be hearing this there, but we're talking real and we're keeping it real here only exclusively on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Politically Incorrect on TNT Radio.
Where we are in the state of Queensland in Australia, we've had a lot of news coming through about how wonderful the transparency is, how wonderful the integrity is of our own local government or state government, led by a woman by the name of Anastasia Palachuk. In our local newspaper, and I suspect that this happens in other parts of the world, there has been an inquiry by that body known as the Crime and Corruption Commission into the spending of money. It was originally an inquiry into misuse of funds, so I gather.
So what have we done? We've hidden it, haven't we?
As a matter of fact, the first court allowed that report to be published, which would have shown us what the allegations were. Now the Court of Appeal has said they don't have to. We're not told what the results of those inquiries are, and we're none the wiser. All we do know is that there are large amounts of money being spent at public expense on secret inquiries.
Nefarious activities, perhaps.
Politically Incorrect with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Close your eyes and think about this. Imagine taking your child to school where all the other kids have access to textbooks, paper, and pencils, but your child is only allowed to listen. Would you be okay with that? That's what it means to be blind. For every 100 books a sighted child can access, a blind child has access to less than 5. Help put the world at the fingertips of vision-impaired kids. Donate now at braillehouse.org.au.
Since the day I stopped drinking, my life has gotten better and better. I can't take any credit for it. It just seems that without alcohol, I think better, I'm more careful with money, I watch what I say, I don't get into trouble like I did when I was drinking. It's scary trying to walk through life alone, and today I have that very distinct feeling that I don't ever have to be alone again.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of choice, freedom of assembly, freedom of health. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
Yep, the voice of freedom. And there's two voices at the minute talking freedom, truth, and justice, and shining light on some of the foul deeds that are being perpetrated on humans as we speak. Literally, somewhere, somebody in the world is being injected, and probably someone is dropping, and someone is being embalmed, and someone is being prepared for burial. As a result of these experimental procedures that are being carried out and people dolled up as a vaccination program in the middle of a, quote, global pandemic, unquote. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? As we're talking, there are people dying. There are people taking clots. There are people bringing their children as we're talking. It's happening now. This isn't something that only happens periodically, Jonathan. It's happening now. Is that not a sobering thought?
Well, of course. I mean, I heard a quote from, I think it was an Italian doctor who spoke out probably 2 years ago or at the start of the vaccine rollout, and they described this as World War III in your body. And I remember that quote. It really stuck with me. One of the things I'm always thinking about is underreporting. I'm thinking about subclinical damage. This is probably one of the scariest and most sobering aspects, is these transfections are instructing the production synthesis of a foreign protein, which is similar to human tissues throughout the body. We know with the cross-reactivity of these antibodies that are produced against spike, against with similarities to ovaries, female reproductive tissue, but even proteins in the heart as well. Tissues in the heart as well. So cardiac tissue as well. So the propensity for there to be subclinical damage that people are not even aware of is very, very high. And going back to that study I just mentioned on these endomyocardial biopsies, where they basically proved that there was synthesis of the spike protein in 9 of these 14 cases. There was 15 in total, 14 of which they were able to confirm there was some kind of myocarditis occurring. But what this study also found is using cardiac MRI, so magnetic resonance imaging, on 6 of these cases in the hospital setting, they were only able to confirm 2 of them as being myocarditis. So imagine you're a young person. Most of these people are quite young. You go to the hospital with shortness of breath, which is the most typical presentation. Obviously, it can include right up to cardiac arrest, but you know, at the first stage is kind of shortness of breath, struggling to breathe. You go and have a cardiac MRI, and it says that you don't have myocarditis because they're using non-invasive techniques. Herein lies the power, as I keep saying, of the biopsy, the power of actually going and inspecting tissues. And when they do that, they find in all these cases, they do have myocarditis. In 2 of these cases, giant cell myocarditis, which is basically fatal. So it's really serious.
Okay, you talk about the importance of going in and examining tissue rather than just speculating. Was this not another massive crime that at the beginning of all of this, you know, no autopsies were performed on people? People that did drop dead suddenly, they tried to call it sudden adult death syndrome. They buried them straight away. There's reports coming in of babies dying in hospitals and they're being cremated straight away. The hospitals are telling distraught parents, we're going to take care of the burials for you right off the bat, because I believe they do not want people, independent people, going into the body and discovering what, sadly, it's taking undertakers to find this out and step up to the plate. And that's not dissing the undertakers. They're doing a phenomenal job, but they shouldn't be the people making these revelations. There's one guy in particular, John O'Looney, I think his name is. He's been very vocal about this. I've tried to get him on the show here, but unfortunately he's so busy embalming people that he can't get on during the day, sadly, but I will try and hook up with him if I can do pre-records after tea time sometime. But I mean, like, the videos that he's releasing, it's like something out of a slasher movie in Hollywood. And that's not just because it's a dead body and you're embalming them, but I've seen what he's pulling out of people's veins, and it's not little, you know, little pea-sized clots. These are long, disgusting tendril clots that are literally, oh man, they're like tapeworms through people's arteries and veins, aren't they?
Of course. And what we've done is we've transfected people with the instruction to produce this foreign toxic protein. Now, there are so many factors here to consider in terms of how this foreign protein, so it's not endogenous, it doesn't belong in the body, it's a viral protein. But more than that, it's a protein, the spike protein, that we suspect, in line with Dr. Francis Boyle, who drafted Biological Warfare Anti-Terrorism Act 1989, we suspect the spike protein, as he says, is an offensive biological warfare weapon. Now, we've taken those instructions and we've transfected people with them. So the question isn't only how is the spike protein tolerated in terms of the short-term reactions and you know, intact spike protein with the correct folding. You have to bear in mind that your body has different pHs. Acidity, for example, in the gastrointestinal region. So it's going to be very acidic. That can affect the folding, for example. It can affect the conformation of the protein. But also, there are enzymes in the body, which are proteases, which are capable of cutting the peptide bonds between these amino acids. And now you have little spike peptides. And the concern is, from this paper from Sweden that was recently published in JAX, what they found is there's an enzyme released by a white blood cell called neutrophils, which are involved with phagocytosis, so basically swallowing up pathogens. But they also release an enzyme called neutrophil elastase, and this is capable of cutting the spike protein, cutting it up into little peptides that they say form perfect, perfect fibers. They said, we've never seen such perfect amyloid fibers. Now, it's known that amyloid fibers can come together and can form amyloids, which can be pathogenic. I think what's happening is, and this, by the way, relates to neurodegenerative disorders, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's, for example.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is what is considered the amyloid hypothesis, the causative factor. We have a spike protein that is capable of being cleaved and cut up by an enzyme in the body forming amyloids. So this could cause neurodegenerative problems in the brain when you have the deposition of the amyloid plaques. But what about the possibility that what we're seeing out of these embalmers is a cascade that starts with the amyloids, perhaps recruiting other parts or other substances in the body, and is also blocking up the blood vessels as well, which could cause, of course, all manner of problems in terms of the cardiovascular system. So
the sobering thing about this, just as we wrap this up for a very brief news break, is the sobering thing is that it's like a ticking time bomb. You know, people were mistaken in saying and almost boastful of the fact that when these vaccines were rolled out, there were warnings given by the alternate media, independent media, to say, listen, be careful, this is dodgy. Oh no, I've had mine, and that was like a week ago, and I'm fine. Or I had my booster and I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, you don't, if you have sclerosis of the liver or you have a heart attack, it doesn't just happen like that. Something builds up. So, you know, scaling builds up in your artery walls. A little piece of that will break off, travel around your blood vessels, and may do nothing. It may just travel, but then it can get to the size when it gets to your coronary arteries that it wedges and causes a myocardial infarction, which is a heart attack, or lodges in your brain, which causes a stroke. It takes time for that to happen. And while it's happening, when the buildup's happening, you're 100% fine. You're about your business. You think life's just tickety-boo, and then bang, down you go. But it's a culmination and it's a progressive buildup, but you don't necessarily feel it until it hits. And you're seeing so many people just dropping now, Jonathan. It's quite disturbing. We've got to take a quick news break, 30 seconds. When we come back, you're touching on neurodegenerative, you're touching on some of these side effects that we're seeing. I want to look at the cancer aspect of this also, because there's some oncologists coming out in the UK this week and coming out with some very sobering statements. This is not me. This is clinical oncologists that are working for the NHS in relation to cancer, backlogs, etc. We'll touch on that when we come back after the short news break here. Don't go away. This is TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a quick check of the day's headlines. It's been revealed that federal agents were reportedly looking for documents relating to nuclear weapons during Monday's unprecedented raid on Donald Trump. Latvia and Estonia have pulled out of a cooperation group between China and European countries, as the West criticizes Beijing over its escalating military pressure on Taiwan. And the blame game continues as Russia and Ukraine accuse each other of bombing Europe's largest nuclear power plant.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Yep, I'm talking with Jonathan Weissman from alltherisks.com, where you can visit and see his output, his written output, his research, his investigative work, his speaking, without fear of it being pulled. It's an independent website. He's gone off Twitter now, sadly. I must admit, I was a little bit sad about that, because you were actually getting a lot of momentum. Good old Peter McCullough even was validating you, or how would you say, endorsing you and the work that you'd be doing, which, you know, respect to you, my friend. You know, you're a computer guy, but you've got McCullough saying this guy knows his onions. That's got to be, a boost to your confidence.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say this, I mean, humble brag, just because it means a lot to me that some of the leading lights reshared it. Dr. Peter McCullough reshared my video presentation last November. Mm-hmm. Dr. Geert van den Bosch's newsletter conveyed my tweet thread on his white paper. Dr. Robert Malone reposted my thread on the adolescent trial on Gab, and then all the other great researchers as well. But those are just three of the leading lights. So to have that kind of confirmation that what I've been providing is useful. It really feels good. And I really think that the time on Twitter was well spent. I knew it was going to happen. I knew I was getting slashed off at some point. I thought, go for it. Get this information out there. Spread the word. Keep everybody well informed. And when it happens, let it happen.
Your hands are clean, mate. You know, at the end of the day, when you stand, if you ever stand on trial, like we all might on Earth, and say, you know, there was a pandemic and there was skullduggery and shenanigans, what did you do about it? Were you vocal? Did you try and raise the alarm? I think you can say, yeah, I blew the trumpet. Whether or not people actually listen or not, that's not your lookout. Your job is to speak the truth and speak it in love with no ulterior motive, which is what you've been doing. And that's what I'm trying to do here as well. We're covering items that aren't particularly pleasant, but they need to be covered because there could be somebody listening that could be thinking about this or could be going for another job or booster, and it might cause them to pause and reflect and think twice. There's some very disturbing statistics coming out on the NHS side of things. Obviously, the waiting lists are... they'll never get through them. They're up to 6 million plus at the minute and growing. I saw a video clip this week of one of the leading oncologists in the UK. I don't have her name, but she was super concerned. And her words were, and I won't forget this, they memorized them, where she said, listen, we are never, ever getting through this backlog. It's too far gone. It is just simply too far gone. We need to manage it as best we can. But given the fact, in her words, that for every 4 weeks that passes that a cancer is not either diagnosed or screened for or treated, for every 4 weeks, the survival rate drops by 10%, generally speaking, for all cancers. So if you have something that you can't get an appointment for, you felt a lump or a growth, or you're out of breath, you've lost your appetite, or you have a change in your bowel movements, it's causing you concern, you can't get seen, you can't get screened, 6 months passes by, 7 months passes by, effectively your chances of surviving that have dropped by about 70 to 80%. And that's the position that the NHS are in now. They're going to be dealing with a lot of people, I'm sorry to say, Jonathan, when they do screen them. If they screen them, they're going to say, sorry, mate, you've got 4 months. What do you think? Am I being overdramatic here, or do you think they're going to manage this unholy mess?
Well, I don't think it's uncommon in the UK to hear things put out by the health services, local hospitals and ambulance trusts saying, basically, please don't come to A&E tonight. If you can at all, possibly drive yourself down, or don't come in unless it's really life-threatening, which is supposed to be the whole point anyway. In other words, you know, people are supposed to, you know, not take up time in the health service, in a public health service, unless they really need to come down. But the fact they're having to make these kind of announcements and plead with people, and even sometimes I've seen it when they're putting out social media messages asking for, you know, doctors, anyone on leave to come back and help out, literally messaging that through, you know, an open public forum, is simply because we are seeing, probably on the one hand, you know, some lack of investment over time, strangling the system, making it harder to run. And obviously, secondly, there are a lot of, unfortunately, new health problems that are arising or worsening, and not only directly caused by the vaccine, but of course, 2 years of lockdowns and mask mandates, none of this is any good for one's mental health. And everybody knows that the immune system is influenced by the state of one's well-being, the state of one's mental state as well. So I have concerns around direct carcinogenicity of these vaccines, but probably also what's worth mentioning here when we're talking about the potential causes of cancer, if it could be linked to the vaccine, is really just the immune dysregulation, because cancer is something that, you know, you have to deal with, you know, mutated cells and these little tumors, whatever. But a person who has good innate immune system and the T cells are functioning as they should do can stay on top of it. Or if you have a cancer and it's in remission, for example, this is quite typical. You hear somebody, and I know of this, people that I know of who had the cancer in remission for some time, took the vaccine or took the booster, and then they died of cancer not long after, and came back with a vengeance. This kind of thing doesn't surprise me because of some of the immune dysregulation that's occurring.
Mm-hmm. So it's grim, and you know, we're talking about a problem that they, in this expert's estimation, they'll never get their way through that backlog. They're just simply trying to manage it as best they can. When you think about the opportunity that has been there for years now for the governments to invest in the health services and invest in increasing bed capacities and so on and so forth. I'm thinking even particularly here in Northern Ireland. Robin Swan seems to have been super quiet. I mean, not that I follow him, but, you know, that little weasel was everywhere for a long time. And the last I seen was he was up for some award for services to the health boards of Northern Ireland. I mean, was that a parody or was that a joke, or were they actually being serious? Do you think this guy's contributed something positive to our health service? Is this a different Robin Swan, or is there two of them? Maybe I've got the wrong one. What do you think?
Well, I've seen it on Facebook where people are saying, you know, this guy did so much for me. He saved us from the pandemic or whatever. So people have different views of history, let's just say. I remember the same thing the Conservative Party were bragging about in the UK, saying that when they went on the doorsteps, one of the responses they got was, you know, all I needed, thank Boris for it, that you got me my vaccine. So some people have a completely different view to perhaps what I would have. Yeah. I listened the other day, end of July, so just a couple of weeks ago, in the White House, they had a special summit on COVID-19 vaccines and the next step. What's coming next? In that presentation that they gave, and Dr. Fauci started it off, and they had representatives from Pfizer and Moderna there, they claim that 2 million American lives have been saved through the vaccines and 20 million worldwide. Now, when you have an increase in all-cause mortality in 2021, how can you say that there are 2 million American lives were saved by the COVID-19 vaccines? My point is, those people who maintain power and maintain control of the narrative through the mainstream media and through the universities, etc., they're the ones who are presenting us history. And this is what tyrants have always done. You know, if they control it, they control the history books, or they control the current version of events, which they're hoping was how history will record it. Of course, they're going to celebrate it. Of course, you're going to see knighthoods. You're going to see peerages in the UK, in the House of Lords, whatever it might be. You're going to see honours from the Queen, probably. All these, I think that's even happened. I think the head of AstraZeneca got some kind of an award as well, because that was a UK-based product from Oxford University. Yeah. So all this kind of thing you can expect. It's all a crooked, corrupt system.
Yeah, that's interesting. A couple of things you've said I want to pick up on. I want to talk about the all-cause mortality rates, but I want to wait until after our next short break to do that. But leading us into that break, you mentioned those fateful words, AstraZeneca. Okay, so from what I can remember, you know, casting my mind back to February of 2021, when the old AZ product was being wheeled out to the vulnerable and the immunocompromised, and we were told this is going to be the golden or the silver bullet for COVID. This will protect us. This will open us up. This will make sure we're all safe and everything's going to be just fine. 2 million jabs to freedom, the newspaper headlines and so on and so forth. It was lauded as a British product, Oxford AstraZeneca. And they rolled it out. The first guy to get jabbed was William Shakespeare, of course. And I kid you not, that was the first person to be jabbed by the Oxford AstraZeneca jab was William Shakespeare. You couldn't make this up. Last summer at Wimbledon, they had one of the architects of this poison in center court. She got a standing ovation. AstraZeneca this, AstraZeneca that. Then various EU countries decided to suspend its use over, quote, clotting fears, unquote. Not ban it, but suspend it. And at one point, there was 23 countries would not give it to their citizens. But guess what? Britain? It's still to be taken. And then in Britain, this is just the genesis of this. Britain said, okay, it's maybe not suitable for under 30s. And then it's maybe not suitable for under 40s. And it's maybe not suitable to be mixed with other. And now, Jonathan, where is AstraZeneca? You remember these one-hit wonders? You know, I heard Chesney Hawkes on the radio the other day, you know, the one and only, and, you know, all these little pop stars from the 80s that had one hit wonders. Is that not the AstraZeneca pharmacy? They're gone, never to be seen again.
I think perhaps even more fundamentally, it's the technology. It's the push to mRNA. So there's some similarities there in terms of encoding the viral antigen, the spike protein. AstraZeneca uses a modified chimpanzee common cold-causing virus and adenovirus and hooks in the spike protein. And then, you know, the adenovirus viral particles are injected. I think it's 50 billion adenoviral viral particles that are replication deficient. So it's a very similar idea to the lipid nanoparticles, but that's really what they're pushing. And as I mentioned a moment ago, it's really the direction I'm seeing from the White House as well. So it's definitely something that is worth bearing in mind. It's probably, you know, I think AstraZeneca, perhaps they're going to get repurposed and they'll work on mRNA, because if they got the memo, that's where we're heading. It's more mRNA, lipid nanoparticles, and all these, I'm sorry to say, toxic lipids it includes. Mm-hmm. That seems to be what's won the day.
Yeah, so the thrust and the push really as a whole from Big Pharma is to go down the mRNA route. If you want to liken it to the old video recorders in the 80s, AstraZeneca are like the Betamax of video recorders. They were pretty much gobbled up and replaced by VHS until Betamax was no more. So AstraZeneca are the Betamax of vaccines, if you want to compare them to VCRs back in the day. If you're old enough to remember what a VCR is, if you're under, 40, you probably don't know. If you're under 30, you probably don't even know what a DVD is, but I can remember both. But anyway, as we take a break, we take a pause. When we come back, I want to look at this all-cause mortality spike that we're seeing everywhere and try and understand how they can then justify the fact that there's been millions of people's lives saved, when in fact, the all-cause death mortalities are spiking up as much as 15% in some cases. So don't go away. Stay tuned and stay informed here on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
We've made a very serious discovery. If you look at CFACT, I published an article on correlation there. I guess it's a blog nowadays. But the serious discovery is there is a direct correlation between the increase in the price of postage stamps and CO2. Obviously, the increase in postage stamps is causing increasing temperatures and increasing CO2. So the solution is get the price of postal stamps down. Here's another ditty. More people get sunburned and melanoma in the summer. More people also eat ice cream cones during the summer. What does this tell you? We've got to get rid of ice cream. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist and ice cream lover Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, reminding you to enjoy your ice cream cone and the weather before someone takes both of them away from you.
The strength of our country hasn't just been won on the battlefield. It's won every day in our communities when we come together in our toughest times. For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities across our nation by providing life-saving help and support to our veterans and neighbors during times like we're facing today. We are the American Legion, veterans strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.
The new communism
is COVIDism,
mandating that the truth be told. This is TNT Radio.
Yeah, this all-cause mortalities. You would have thought that this would have been the talk of the town, that the media would be jumping all over this, given that if one person dies of monkeypox, it's world news. And if, you know, an old man of 90 with comorbidities, he's just been shot in the head, dies of COVID, it makes the news. But there's been a spike in all-cause mortality deaths over the last year and 5 years. Looking at all the statistics, there's a spike. And what does that mean to the layman? Well, it means basically there's more people dying year on year than there was. And it's not just a little increase. It's a massive spike between 10 and 15%, depending on where you're looking at the figures from. Why is there no national... Well, obviously, you know the answer to this one, you know, but why are they not jumping all over this? Where's was the health secretary and Keir Starmer and schools and hospitals, doctors, why are they not jumping all over this and saying, we need to get to the bottom of this, people are dying?
Well, as I've said before, the one conclusion I can make from the work that I've done that anyone can now make when you look at all-cause mortality and the red flags are not being picked up by those responsible and those who should be doing it, is this is not about public health. Now, what that means is, and I think it's really the same story as to why we had so many people dying in the nursing homes in the early part of the pandemic, why we had people who were positive for the virus going back into the nursing homes. We had the administration of midazolam. We have, in America, we have remdesivir being given out. We have the use of protease inhibitors, which are known they're not going to work, like Paxlovid. So you have the Paxlovid rebound, which even apparently Dr. Fauci suffers from. The point is, this isn't about public health. Very simple statement, but I always make it because I'm trying to get everyone to see. Once you can accept that premise, then the very interesting question becomes, well, what's it really all about? Simply because it's not about public health. In terms of why the individuals aren't speaking out, obviously we know why, because they're under so much pressure. They're worried for their jobs. They're making their own risk-benefit decision in terms of, is it good for them? Is it the right decision to pay their mortgage? Is it the right decision for their peace of mind? Is it something they can justify to their loved ones, perhaps even a spouse that disagrees, or aging parents who are really afraid of COVID and totally going with the narrative? But the fundamental point is this. The reason I know it's so serious, why I'm working so hard, is I know they know at the highest level, for example, those stakeholders at the globalist level like Bill Gates, they know this isn't for public health. They know this isn't making people healthier. And therefore, we must be being drawn into something else. My fear, of course, is that we are being drawn into a state where the majority of the population, they keep receiving the boosters, will have an immune system so compromised, they will become more afraid, more sick, more dependent on government. So we will have a more slavish population. And this will be a bigger thing than what we've already faced with the lockdowns in 2020. That's my concern.
You know something, listening to you, at any other time in history, I'd be listening to you and going, this guy's crazy. You're nuts. You're talking about government plans to compromise our immune systems. You're telling me that they want me to be enslaved and die. And you're telling me that the things that they're telling me are safe and effective are actually bioweapons and they're waging war. You know, at any other time in history, I would certainly listen to you and go, the guy's smart, but he's definitely got a screw loose on his marbles are rolling around unchecked in that cranium of his. And let me say, but by the way, let me put a caveat. I agree with it all. I agree. But the way you say it and the way that I put it out there, I get that those who are not enlightened would think we're nuts, because it sounds beyond outlandish. It sounds like something so far-fetched that even, you know, Ian Fleming would not have put it in the plot of a James Bond world domination supervillain movie. But Jonathan, it's happening today, and it's been happening for years, and it's going to continue to happen unless something's done. It's crazy, isn't it, mate?
I think I can help with this one, because I completely agree with you. Even to my ears, sometimes I'm listening to myself and listening to what I really think and think, well, this must sound crazy. It must be very hard for people who don't yet have a hook into this thing to even comprehend what I'm saying. Maybe it's too much. Just think of this for anyone listening. Just think of the Second World War and think of the industrial complex. Just think about IBM or Bayer and all the German companies that just kept rolling along because the shareholders were making profit, the CEOs were profitable. It made sense for them to go along with the Nazis. This is really an argument that Vera Sharav, who's a Holocaust survivor, has been trying to make. Once you really understand that the people who are motivated at the top to make decisions are powerful people with huge financial interests, if you're not open to the possibility of being misled from the highest levels of the pharmaceutical industry and the government, I think it's a failure to comprehend what the main drivers may be for some of the most powerful people. They're just making decisions that make sense for them. Unfortunately, if very powerful people, and it may only take a couple of hundred of them in the top companies and the top governments, if they make the wrong decisions, and we trust their judgment, we have exercised faith in man. Now, anytime you put your faith in a person, They can let you down, especially if they have a vested financial interest. That's really as practical as I can be what's happening. You know, if you're making billions of money, billions of pounds or dollars from this pandemic, are you going to put the health of other people above that? But you would hope they would, but they may not. That's what we're facing. We're facing a lot of greed, a lot of self-interest. Believe it or not, this story has replayed throughout human history, where people would rather make money off of munitions, they'd rather make money off of chemicals that are killing people than doing the right thing. We've seen this so many times before. It's just history repeating itself.
You know, the love of money really is the root of all evil. And if, you know, that's a verse in the Bible that's often misquoted, saying money is the root of all evil. It's not. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. And whether you believe or not, or whether you're religious or you have a faith or not, is neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is, this is being evidenced as we speak by what's going on today. And there was a doctor came out this week. I don't know who he is, but he was on video and he made a video statement with a stethoscope on and his blue uniform on. I don't know if it was real or not, but he was saying, listen, what we've been doing is wrong. I'm coming out. I'm holding my hands up. I'm asking you to forgive me. I put my finances before people's health. I was more afraid of repercussions from a health board than I was from the potential harm I was going to cause my patients. I can't take the guilt anymore, so I'm coming out with it. I'm confessing it and I'm apologizing. So while on one hand, you could say, well, you know, better late than never. But on the other hand, you've got to be asking yourself, how many physicians out there, in inverted commas, are but willing to kill their patients for literally a few pounds? Because, you know, just in summary, when this all started, I had a chat with my mom and dad and my family, tried to warn them. They didn't listen. And the point that I put to them was, I said, listen, I have no vested interest in you taking this or not. I'm not going to get paid if you don't take it. But the people that are pushing you to take it are going to get paid if you do. At the very least, on a GP level, they'll get 15 quid every time they inject you. At the very least, think about that. There's an incentive there for them to just put that thing in your arm, if nothing else. I don't get anything if you don't do it. And I'm your son. You're my parents. You're my sister, blah, blah, blah. You know, think about this. And it was like short circuit. No, we're listening to the doctor, the one that doesn't give a damn about us, the one that has their doors closed, the one that wouldn't see us, the one that won't see us face to face, the one that makes us sit in the car park, the one that's getting paid £15 per jab. No, we're going to listen to them. And it's psychology 101. What can you do, mate? What can you do?
You're not the only one. This is well described, not only by this mass formation psychosis that this psychologist Matthias Desmet, who's from Belgium, is describing. Even if you listen to skilled and seasoned biologists, for example, Jonathan Cooey or JJ Cooey, who does a Twitch stream, he's an American biologist who's very experienced working with viruses, and he really understands coronaviruses and adenovirus as well. He calls it skilled TV watchers, people who pick everything up from the media. And he says he couldn't reach his own parents and his own sister and stop them from being transfected. He said he had a friend, a lady that he used to walk with to the bus stop every day, who was concerned about the vaccine for her child. He told her everything day after day. She was seemed very concerned about it. And then one day out of the blue, she says to him, oh, by the way, I just had my child vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine. So he says to his audience, he says, listen, if I can't convince these people, and I've been doing this thing years and years, I'm an expert, my own family don't listen to me, and they don't obviously know what he knows about this kind of technology, then this is really what we're up against. So I think the only thing to say is, so the way I approach it is, I just do it. I just speak. Yeah. I just research. I write. I talk. I teach as much as I can. I pray. I have faith. I ask God to give the increase. If people listen, great. If they don't, at least I did my part. And that goes right back to Ezekiel 33. It's the watchman who must warn.
Yeah.
If you don't warn, blood's on the watchman's hand, because he didn't do it. If you did warn, proverbially, the blood is on those who didn't listen. It's that serious. It's really like an Old Testament warning. And that's the drive that I have. That's how I see it.
It is. And you see, when you adopt that attitude, I'm speaking from experience as well, when you realize it's actually not your job to convert them to think like you do, it's your job to present them with facts and truth, and lead the horse to the water. If the horse is stubborn, or the horse is or a mule is stubborn and it decides I'm not drinking, or it kicks you in the chest and runs away again, you've done what you were supposed to do. You've brought them there. You've given them the facts in love, with no ulterior motive and no financial gain, genuinely unbiased, except motivated by love and concern for their physical well-being. Listen, my old friend, if they turn around and spit in your face after that, what can you do? Your hands are clean. Ezekiel 33, check it out. The watchman blowing the trumpet. If he doesn't blow it, the blood is on his hands. If he does, he's clean. So anyway, well, that's a good way to finish. It's been a pleasure. I can tell your throat was a little touchy today. So thank you for stepping up to the plate. God bless you and heal you this weekend. Get plenty of sun, vitamin D, and we'll be in touch maybe in a few weeks' time. You have a good one. That was Jonathan Weisman, alltherisks.com. I'll be back after the news with Bruce Scott. Don't go away.